Jonathan, thank you so much. Jonathan, thank you so much. Brishus Harav, I want to join you and join Moshe Tzvi and open by thanking the people who made tonight possible against all odds, who have thought through creatively about how we could really feel together and how we can continue to build our sense of achdus and continue to make our shul a viable, stable place. David Greenberg, Yitzi Karasek, Dovi Popowitz, Yossi Markovitz, and of course, Ora and Meredith. Coming together, sort of the theme perhaps the last couple of months, we're both farther and closer at the same time. Some of us have felt that way with the Zoom shiurim. You know, we're all equally far and all equally close. Distance doesn't matter so much in a strange sort of way. Moshe Tzvi drew our attention to the beginning of the Sedra. I want to take us, perhaps, for a couple of moments to the end of the Sedra and to a comment, an insight of the Rav that I think has particular resonance for us right now. Shlach ends with the Parsha of Tzitzis. Say it every day. And the Torah speaks about the two colors that are meant to make up our Tzitzis, the Tchelas and the Lavan, the blue and the white. And the Rav describes in with extraordinary poetry what that means. What's the significance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us we're meant to have tzitzis that are a mix of white and blue? White, the Rav points out, speaks to clarity. In Hebrew and Aramaic, they say dvar mechuvarim kesimla, when things are clear, we call them the white, they're clear. Machavarta. The Tchelas, on the other hand, Gemara Menachas tells us that the Tchelas reminds us of the sea. Sea reminds us of the sky, and the sky gets us thinking about the Kisei HaKavod. The endlessly broad sea, the sky is so far away, the Kisei HaKavod. Who can really understand that? And so the Lavan and the Tcheles combine that which we can understand, that which we can get clarity about, and that which is mysterious, that which is beyond us. The Rav speaks about Lavan and Tcheles, about the clear and the mysterious in mitzvahs. There's some aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah that we understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us of us, and there are things that are Tcheles. There are parts of Jewish history that are Lavan, that are clear. And there are parts of Jewish history that are Tcheles. And then the Rav writes that in every person's life, there are those times, those years, those months, sometimes those minutes of Lavan. There are times when things are clear, times when everything is working, times when everything is resonating, and there are times of tchelas in every single person's life. There are times when they're mysterious, there are times we don't understand what it is Ribbono Shel'olam is doing, what it is that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. And the mitzvah of tzitzis is to take the lavan and the tchelas and to tie them and knot them together into a single mitzvah. And that reminds us that Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved in all the parts of our lives. The Lavan and the Tcheles, and it's certainly been a lot of Tcheles for all of us and for each of us over the last couple of months. Such confusion, in different stages, different types of confusion. What's happening? What's going to happen? What should I be doing now? Are we rolling back? Are we not rolling back? What messages is Kadosh Baruch Hu sending us? But I was thinking that, I think of the last couple of months in particular, sometimes it's within the Tcheles that there's a lot of lavan. Sometimes it's within the mysterious parts of life. If they tell a story about the Nodi Behuda, the Behuda was Yecheskel Landau, one of the great minds of Klal Yisrael, one of the great Rabbanim, of the great insightful Jews of the last 200 years. And he dealt with many unusual Dinei Torah, but probably one of the most unusual of all was when two people come into his office, his rabbinic office in Prague. One is dressed like a successful merchant, the other like a wagon driver. And their intense dispute, what's the issue? So the fellow dressed as a wagon driver points to the merchant and says, I'm him and he's me. I'm a merchant, says the man dressed as a wagon driver. I hired him as my wagon driver to bring me from Leipzig to here to Prague. It's a couple of days' journey. One night at knife point, he committed identity theft 150 years ago. He forced me at knife point to change clothes. He made me drive him. And I want justice. He stole everything from me. The Yehuda says, wow, it's quite a claim. He turns to the man dressed as a merchant. He says, what do you have to say for yourself? He says, I don't know what this fellow's talking about. I came to Prague a couple days ago, and this fellow started following me around the streets and claiming that I'm him and he's me. Rabbi, I don't know what's going on. Who's the merchant? Now, Yehuda goes back and forth, cross-examining. Each one sticks to his story. Yehuda stops and he thinks. He says, Rabosai, this is a tough question. Tomorrow morning, we'll be back here at 9 o'clock in the morning exactly, and I have a solution for you. Okay? They leave. Now, Yehuda turns to his gabbai. He says, you see those two fellows? When they come tomorrow morning, under no circumstances do you let them into my office. They will wait in the waiting room until I call them in personally. It doesn't matter what happens. I will let them in myself. So they show up the next morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, together with, you know, many different members of the Prague community all came to benefit from Yehuda's wisdom. One by one, they're called into the office, and the crowd is thinning. These two fellows are still there. And finally, there's no one left. The last person left goes in, and they figure they'll be next. Fellow leaves, and they're not called in. And they're waiting. 9:30 comes, and 10 o'clock comes, and 10:30 comes, and these two fellows are at each other. You can imagine the tension in the room. They're waiting and waiting. The merchant tries to slip a 20 to the gabbai. We need to get in. He says, we don't operate like that. The Rev said he'll call you in when he's ready. The hours go by. It's noontime. They're waiting for 3 hours. And finally, the door between the waiting room and the Rev's study opens just a crack. And they can hear. They can't see. But they can hear the Rev. They can hear the Nebi Yehuda. And he's sitting and learning. He's singing a niggun over his Gemara. And they can't believe it. We've been waiting here for hours. And the tension in the room is so thick. And they hear for a good 15, 20 minutes, the Rav is just sitting and learning. And finally, the door swings open. No, Yehuda was a tall man. And he steps in, his body fills the door frame. And they look at him. And he says, will the wagon driver please step forward? And without thinking instinctively, the man dressed as the merchant jumps out of his seat. And Rabbi Yehuda says, I think we solved our problem. Because when people are stressed, we forget our pretenses. We forget all the layers of mirage that we build around ourselves. And when the chips are down and we're really stressed, the real us comes through. In the case of that supposed merchant who was really a wagon driver, the real him came through and it wasn't so pretty. But in our tchelas, in our time of stress, the real us came through, and it is glorious. We have so much to be proud of. The yearning for more learning, the yearning for davening, the appreciating what we don't have, the incredible amount of chesed that we've seen, that Jonathan mentioned, that so many of us have seen, and some of us have seen so much quiet chesed, so many people wanting to help and yearning to connect. It's so extraordinary. In our moment of greatest tchelas, we looked and we saw extraordinary loving. In our moment of greatest stress and extended stress and not knowing what's going to be in, and yet look how there's so much to be proud of. There's so much to be proud of, Rabosai. And there's so much to take pride in what has happened and to take strength from that in moving forward. And I want to say in particular, without embarrassing them too much, it's a kavod to work with the Chashuv Rabbanim with whom I have the privilege of associating in the shul. And it's been extraordinarily inspiring to watch Jonathan Landa, the man who does so much with so little credit. And to see someone who could be, as Jessica mentioned before, we thought he was so mustard to the tzibur before all this happened. I cannot begin, if I began to describe Jonathan, would be doubly upset at me for talking about him and for going over my time. But suffice it to say that every need that you could think of, and two or three times as many that you can't, Jonathan has been there. He has been there for his family, he has been there for his hospital, and between all of that, he has managed to put in at least 35 hours a day taking care of the shul bechlau and so, so many yechidim every single day befrat. We have so much to be grateful for. And our gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the best way to express it, is to look in the mirror of our tchelas and lavan and see what we have been capable of, and expect of ourselves to build upon that forward. Thank you so much.
Rabbi Cohen, thank you very much.